This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening, I'm Scott Tetley, and on tonight's edition of The Informer, we're looking at what happens when naked and intimate photos and or videos end up in the wrong hands. We'll be catching up with a Singaporean gay guy who learned that explicit images and videos of him were being distributed online without his consent. Should we stop sending naked pics or filming certain intimate moments? Also on the program, I chat to Victoria Police about the implications of sexting, sharing, and the threats of online image distribution. What are your rights? Is sharing a crime? What should you do if you are threatened or your photos or videos are leaked? That and more. Keep tuned to The Informer right here on Joy 94.9. Almost all of us have one of these with us at all times. It's used to capture and share our memories. I'm talking about our cameras, which for many are a central part of our mobile use. Now mix that with the take-up of hookup apps, online dating sites, plus the viral impact of social media. And it doesn't take much to imagine those quick naked pics that you've taken, or maybe a raunchy video to a loved one, can easily fall into the wrong hands. Recently, a gay Singaporean guy discovered that websites and social media were sharing an intimate hookup without his permission. From Same Same right through to Mashable, Lockie Khan is telling his story and wants us, first of all, not to be ashamed of sex or photos, but that there is a difference when you share personal content without consent. Joining me from Singapore is Lockie Khan. Welcome to Joy 94.9 and The Informer.
Hi. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Now, Lockie, tell us a little bit about your story. It's gone international. What actually happened?
Well, basically, there were pictures and there were gifs of me getting it on sexually, and it found its way onto Tumblr, and it was basically circulated a lot online, and usually. Well, I mean, this is something that isn't new to me, per se, but this time around, it really got out of hand, so it was really hard to contain the situation.
Yeah, so were they videos, what was actually shared online?
I think it was a video, but the video was actually made into GIFs, so it was mostly the GIFs that were going around.
And were the initial images with your, taken or filmed with your consent?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I mean, for it to go online like that, it's not something that I gave consent.
No. But the actual initial filming?
Oh, the filming. Well, yes. I believe I was aware that I was getting filmed, I guess. Yes.
And then what happened? So, look, the reality in our community, people do, share photos and films and different, things, we're sexual beings.
Of course.
What happened? What happened after, obviously the event and it was written online that, that was a hookup. What happened then?
Well, I don't know. I really have no idea how it got around. I mean, I was talking to some friends of mine, and they're giving me ideas of what could have happened. Like, it could be really just an act of, just betrayal of, really being unfriendly, or it was a possibility of, the person sending to people, and people sending to other people, and, people not knowing who this person in the video is, and it eventually found its way online. There are actually quite a few possibilities as to how this happened, but it wasn't a case of I lost my phone, all this kind of stuff. Like, there were people saying did you lose your phone? I'm like, no, I didn't lose my phone for that matter. Yeah.
When did you first notice and this actually come to your attention that, hey, this is out there?
It was about 2 months ago, I think.
And tell us, like, how did you find out? You know, what was your initial, you know, connection to this?
Right. Well, people were just sending messages like, oh, hey, you know, the stuff of you online. I'm like, and initially, like, the first 2-3 messages that I got, I was like, okay, it's all fair. And I responded pretty calmly. I mean, I've been calm throughout whenever I get messages of people telling me, you know, what's going on. But, I mean, gradually with time, it just became a bit, I mean, the first thing I did was to, you know, immediately sort of like try to reach Tumblr about the situation, trying to get the content removed. But for some bad and unlucky reason, this time around Tumblr wasn't quite responsive with, you know, trying to get the things down. So from there, I mean, the things just kept, the contents were just circulating on and on, and you know, the messages just keep coming in. That was pretty much how I found out, well, initially. So,
now, yeah. It wouldn't be unusual to hear, you know, through your, you know, friends and others that, hey, you're online. You are on Instagram, you know, you've got over 20,000 followers.
Yes.
And you know, you do share a lot of your body on Instagram. There's no
yes,
denying
right.
that.
Of course.
So it would have been fairly obvious. What was your instant reaction, like, feeling, though, when you actually realized these were intimate moments that were out there?
Felt very violated, really. I mean, there's nothing else to do. There's no other, you know, no other feeling that I had at the point of time, because I feel like this was not, like I've said many times, this is not something I want people to see. This was not something in my control. As much as, I mean, yeah, I mean, on Instagram, it's, you know, a lot of skin and everything, but, you know, that is something I want people to see. It's within my control. But with these GIFs, it was not something that I wanted people to see, and that was just not cool.
Now,
like, you wouldn't want a bad picture of yourself, you know, getting out there. I mean, by choice, usually, right? So, yeah, that was pretty much how I felt.
Do you think, I suppose, because of, you know, a little bit of the profile and, you know, that you were a known sort of person in some circles, you know, the Instagram sort of, you know, the online environment, a lot of people,
yes.
you know, would class you now. You've moved yourself a little bit into the public, so you're fair game. What do you say to that?
Well, honestly, this is not something I asked for. I mean, when I went on record to talk about the issue, when I agreed to talk about the issue, all I wanted to do was to just sort of, like, you know, address kind of like an elephant in the room. Like, this is something that's going on for quite some time now, and no one has really talked about it. Well, people did take, like, some people did say, like, I was doing it for, like, a cheap shot at, like, fame, but honestly, come on, I mean, you wouldn't want to, like, put yourself all through this kind of, like, situation just to be famous or in my situation, infamous.
And social media quite often is about curated content, and so your Instagram, you choose what to put up
yes.
there, of course. And that, it's interesting. What got my attention with your story, you know, is that it happened in Singapore, or, like, you know, you're a Singaporean, and, you know,
yes.
I suppose from a gay perspective in Singapore, you're in a really precarious position. Like, is there any rights in this situation? Any legal sort of side of things?
When it comes to, like, posting people's photos or news that are not yours, it's actually criminal.
Okay.
It is criminal.
Was the initial sharing done locally or internationally? Or
locally, I believe. I believe it would be locally.
And were you able to pursue that, you know, officially, or it's still not, you know, not that easy to do in your context?
For me, I didn't really want to get into, the legal part of things with the situation. I felt like, personally, I felt at the point of time, like, the legal system can't do anything for me. Like, they wouldn't put a priority or something like this.
We're talking to Lockie Khan, who is a Singaporean gay man who had some explicit images shared without his permission. And, Lockie, what do you think the motivation is behind on sharing these type of, you know, images, GIFs, videos? What's going on in our community?
I really have no idea. I feel like people who go about sharing these images of people, I feel like, well, first thing is the sense of personal gratification. I mean, that maybe I can relate to. It's like, you know, some sort of trophy you want to show it off to people. But on the second hand, I feel like it's becoming a problem. It really is. I mean, these people who put other people's images out there have no idea what kind of repercussions it might bring to, you know, the person at question. I mean, for me, I feel like with how I handle my Instagram, I feel like personally I was able to cope with the situation. As much as it was a lot like harder this time around, I felt like I could handle it, no less. I mean, with friends and people who really truly support me, I felt I was able to cope. But with people out there, maybe for example, your man who is in the closet still, and you have all these things out there, this could be something that could break you. This could be something that really could damage someone's life. And we don't really care about this kind of stuff because we just want to do it. I don't know. It is very warped. You know, it's not a good thing at all.
Well, I think in the online space, we don't look at the human at the other end, do we? You think about the massive increase in trolling, in online bullying, you know, and and this is again some form of going, you know, against somebody's consent, you know, which is unfortunately a trend. How is this situation and what's happened to you? How's this changed your behaviour, I suppose, and, you know, what you would do? You know, are you still going to, you know, not, you know, still, you know, share within your circle, or if you're still wanting to take photos or videos, you know, is there any difference there now for you?
Well, I think honestly right now I'm a bit more like cautious about the whole thing. even with what I post on Instagram, it's a bit more, I'm a bit more careful, per se. I don't know. I feel like there's a part of me that tells me, you know, that people are watching. I don't know. Like, for me, I really wasn't asking for any of this. Like, I get that, you know, when you ask for attention, you will get attention. That are good, but
when something like this happens, you know, our community is very quick to come back with comments. And there's been comments that I've sort of read online, you know, good and bad, you know, that really support you and also attack you. Like, you know, like you're a bad gay man. You know, how's that for our identity? How's that for our identity?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we will have to go back to what, you know, the meaning of a community is. It is so, I don't know, I'm not sure for how Australia is, but like for Singapore, we have this problem of calling ourselves a community. We try to move forward as a community, but within the community, we have so much just, you know, slandering, backstabbing and gossiping going on. And it's very hard for us to function as one when within, you know, this community, there's so little trust within people. And that is sad. That honestly is a problem.
What advice would you give for somebody who received the type of images, videos that, you know, that is from somebody and you probably know that it's, you know, they don't have permission? What would you do? What advice would you say to somebody who's receiving these things?
Wow. Honestly, there's nothing else but, you know, do not circulate them because, you know, that's for sure the only right thing to do is not to, you know, put them out there. But in a situation where, you know, they don't care, I hope that they would sort of maybe give it a second thought about it, at least. The very least is to just at least be a little apprehensive about it.
And any advice for, you know, other gay guys who, you know, might be taking photos, videos, you know, sending, you know, before a hookup, you know, during, after, any advice for them?
There's nothing wrong with taking nudes. Like, everybody takes nudes. Let's face it. Everybody takes nudes. But the problem here is, you know, having it shared online without your permission, that is the problem. But, I mean, I can't tell you not to take nudes, not to share your nudes with other people. Go ahead, by all means, if you need to, right? But if it ever happens, if something like this ever happens to you, I feel like the first thing you need to do is understand that you did nothing wrong. Definitely. There's nothing wrong that you did. And there's definitely nothing to be ashamed of.
And that's a perfect way to say thank you so much for sharing your story, Lockies. As a confident gay man in Singapore, absolutely great to speak with you today. You can follow Lockie's online on Instagram. We'll pop up his link on the podcast page for tonight's program on The Informer. Lockie's Khan from Singapore, thank you for joining us on Joy 94.9.
Thank you very much, Scott. Thank you.
You are on The Informer, and we had a tweet at The Informer Joy from Stephen. Dear young people, in the old days, there were no phones, cameras, and certainly nowhere to share narcissistic ideals. Stephen, thank you for giving your opinion, and I do find it so ironic that you tweeted it and you didn't text it. Thanks so much. Right now, though, you are listening to The Informer, and coming up soon, all the latest from the USA via the Huffington Post Queer Voices. But first, joining us on the line from Victoria Police, in fact, from the prosecutions and legal area, we've got Acting Senior Sergeant Belinda Cowley. Welcome to Joy 94.9, Belinda.
Hi, Scott. Thank you for having me.
Now, we've just heard a story about a Singaporean guy who had his personal stuff shared on the internet without his permission. And look, I want to bring it a bit closer to home and ask, what's the legal situation here in Victoria?
The situation in Victoria is such that obviously the gentleman, if he had shared the image to another person, he's able to do that. If it's an intimate image and he gives consent, then there's no problem there. The situation in Victoria is that it's an offence, however, if a person distributes an intimate image without the other person's consent. So if we have person A, they post a photograph of another person, person B, on a social media website without person B's express or implied consent, and that photograph of person B shows them in, doing sexual activity or in a sexual context, then person A commits an offence.
Is nudity defined in that sense, or do you need to actually be in an intimate moment?
It can include nudity. So an intimate image might be someone engaged in sexual activity if they're in a sexual manner or context, or if it's nudity and it includes the person's genital or anal region, or in the case of a female, the breast, then that will be covered under the legislation.
So let's say a guy sends me a picture, let's say we've hooked up, and then I want to share that with my friends and say, look at this guy that I hooked up with. That's crossing the line?
Yes. Yeah. If you distribute that image without the consent of the guy that you've been with, and it can include implied consent. But implied consent wouldn't be the guy that you've been with allowing you to take the photo. He's not impliedly consenting to you then showing it or distributing it further than yourself.
Now, what about if you've been filmed and you didn't know about it in particular, within a sexual contact?
There's offences for that as well. There's offences that capture a person, I suppose, visually capturing genital anal regions of other persons without their knowledge. Yeah, it's definitely an offence here in Victoria. There's some Commonwealth legislation as well that would cover that circumstance too.
Now, I know it's been in the news, and I suppose more and more with social media, when somebody breaks up and they're pretty angry and they decide, I'm going to distribute all of this sort of stuff.
I think, Scott, with anyone who, has shared images or, in a relationship has allowed a partner to take images or there's video, that's always a risk that it's out there, and that if the relationship does sour, that can happen. There is hopefully some comfort in the fact that that is an offence. Even the distribution of that image, but not only the distribution, but a threat to distribute the image. So if a person makes a threat that they will distribute an image or send it out on Facebook or, on social media, they commit an offence. That's something that can be, reported to police and investigated.
I suppose in the situation from with an ex, it's at least it's a known person, so the investigation probably would be a lot easier. because you can identify the actual person. The problem with these days is online, a lot more, anonymous and also interstate and international. You know, how do you deal with that if it's going viral, this photo or this video that you haven't consented to and it's gone international?
It's not without its challenges in relation to how those images can be recalled. And, whilst a person may be able to be identified and be responsible in some circumstances, that doesn't stop the image and its continued sharing, I suppose, through social media or other networks. So, yes, it's a difficult problem for people and for police to tackle.
Oh, so what should somebody do? You know, they're living here in Victoria and, you know, it could be an ex, could be somebody they know, but they've found their images, their videos, photos, whatever it is, and they did not give permission. What can they do? Because I asked this question to Lockie in Singapore, and he said that, you know, he didn't worry about doing it through the police. He didn't think it would really, you know, matter. What would you guys take it seriously?
Of course it would be taken seriously. I would encourage anyone who has found out that an image has been distributed without their consent to report it to police. It's certainly, as I've mentioned, it's a crime. The same thing goes for if there is a threat to a person to have an image distributed. That's also a crime. Going to the local police station, just explain the circumstances, explain the situation, bring any evidence that you have, you know, where the photograph has been located or the video has been uploaded, and ask for an investigation to be commenced. If your listeners don't feel comfortable going into a police station, they can always go onto the Victoria Police internet page and look up the location of one of the GLO offices, and if they feel a little bit more comfortable, given the sensitive nature of the type of material that might be out there.
So they can just jump on police.vic.gov.au.
You can punch the GLLO in the search tab, and that will come up with the list of advice regarding gay and lesbian liaison officers and how they can be contacted.
Acting Senior Sergeant Belinda Kawala from Victoria Police, thank you for joining us on The Informer tonight.
Thanks, Scott.
It's now time to turn our attention over to Huffington Post's Queer Voices editor, Noah Mickelson, and The Informer's Ruby Susan kicks off the conversation talking about the push to ban conversion therapy in Seattle.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I mean, in some ways, it's kind of shocking to think that this is even still legal anywhere.
Yeah.
But Seattle becomes, it's only the third city in the United States to ban it. Also in, I think it's Miami and Cincinnati are the other ones. And we have five states in the District of Columbia that have banned it, but you know, in 45 other states, you can still do conversion therapy, which is so barbaric and archaic. It's just crazy that people are still trying to use it on queer people. There's never been one single proven case that it worked. And even people who have been proponents of it, people who've led entire organizations surrounding it, have come out later and said, you know what, it was all a lie. It didn't even work for me. So, yeah, it needs to go away as soon as possible.
The idea of conversion is, of course, it's not going to work because it goes on the assumption that it's something that is subject to change.
Exactly. Could you make straight people gay then? No, of course not. So this is just a really silly thing that has devastating consequences for a lot of people, especially teens and minors, who their parents bring them to these therapists to try and quote-unquote fix them. And what they do is they just ruin their lives.
Are conversion therapy centers in the United States all religiously affiliated?
Not all of them, but for the most part, yes. Yeah. I would say that the wide majority of them are religiously affiliated, yeah.
And in other good news, I've heard that Joe Biden, our favorite VP, officiated a same-sex wedding from some of the staff from the Oval Office.
He did. It's so sweet. We're going to miss him. So, yeah, it was actually two staffers who worked for the Obama administration, and it was the first time that he's ever officiated a wedding. He got his temporary certification just for the occasion, and they did it at his house. And I guess it was just their immediate family and the Bidens, and he tweeted out about it and just said he couldn't be happier to do it for them, and he was proud to marry them, and just a really beautiful moment.
And especially if that was the first wedding he's officiated, to officiate a same-sex wedding as your first wedding, I think that's a pretty strong statement. There's a photograph running through down the hallways of the White House with the rainbow flag,
yeah.
Like a cape.
You have to remember, too, that a lot of people credit him with being the one to push Obama on marriage equality and really being the one to come out ahead of it and and say, this is the right thing to do, and helping Obama to evolve on it. So we definitely think of Joe Biden as a hero, and he's done right by our community.
Seems like he has no intention of stopping that anytime soon. Now, I've also heard that the United States has joined Australia in having shitty Uber drivers. So we had a story in June, of course, of a same-sex couple that had recorded their Uber driver berating them and queer people in general. And something similar has happened in Tennessee. What's going on?
Yeah, it was very similar. We covered that story that happened in June, and same thing, this driver rode up and he called the passenger a faggot and said he wouldn't let him in the car with his food, and basically just started using all this really homophobic language against him. So when the customer tried to get a different Uber, the same guy showed up with a different profile and continued to berate him.
I heard he tried to run him over.
Yeah, he tried to run him over. Totally crazy. And so then the customer went public with it and said that this isn't okay and he wants Uber to address it. Uber has spoken out. They spoke out when it happened in Australia in June, too, and said that they had no patience for that kind of behavior and they were going to look into it. So I don't think this guy will be an Uber driver for very long if they find out that this really did happen.
No, well, 4 hours after the woman had come forward with the audio, Uber informed her that they'd let him go. Uber made it clear when we covered this story that the discrimination protocol they have is in their agreement. So people do agree when they become an Uber driver that they will be able to drive anybody, regardless of race, religion, gender, or sexual orientation.
Exactly. And it's great, though, that Uber then stands by that and that they back up their customers and believe their customers and want what's best for them. It's nice to see businesses now, finally, really taking a stand on queer rights and being in our corner, because for a long time they weren't. So it's a very, very positive step forward.
Now, we do need to talk about the T word. I know it's difficult. Unfortunately, it does reach us all the way over here, and there is encouragement that his poll numbers have gone down again. So there have been recently some outrage. He spoke about Khans, a couple that had lost their son, whose son had died in the Iraq War, saving 12 other people, and Trump went on the attack. He said, this person has no right to criticize me. If he isn't able to accept criticism, if he's going to attack any civilian that criticizes him, that does raise some questions about how he'd handle the presidency, which finally got him through to some Republican congressmen as well.
The entire campaign is really crumbling, and more Republicans are coming out and saying that they just can't support him. And some are even saying they're going to support Hillary Clinton, which is absolutely a crazy thing for them to say and just tells you how dire the situation has gotten. But yeah, every single day, every single hour, it seems like there's a new controversy. He said something new. He stuck his foot in it again. And people are saying he doesn't seem to have the temperament to be the president or the commander-in-chief or to have the codes to the nuclear bombs. You know, it's all these things. If this man can get this whipped up in a frenzy about something someone says about him in an interview, how can he have the decorum to lead our country, you know?
I'm hoping that the citizens of the United States are going to realize that over the next 3 months and he will be soundly defeated.
Some people in our country who still want to vote for him, it just baffles me. So, I hope everyone listening, if you see a shooting star, say a little prayer for us because we need it.
Well, thank you again so much for joining us and stay strong over there.
Thank you to my guests today. A full rundown on today's show will be on the Joy website shortly. For a podcast of today's program and our other stories, be sure to check out joy.org.au/The Informer. The Informer will be back on Monday evening at 6:30. Up next is Stand Up Straight. I'm Scott Tetley. Until next time, keep smiling.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.